You know what my favorite phrase has been nowadays?
What?
Why not? Yeah. So, because I think it's because I spent so much time during the last 3 to 4 years, I spent so much time inside the house. Like now, I want to spend all the time outside the house.
Okay.
So, I've just been socializing a lot these past few weeks, I suppose. Yeah, and it's been good. So, how about you? How is your social life right now?
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, it's
I mean,
okay.
it's good.
It's good. Anushka is a typical introvert, and nowadays I feel like she is trying to become a bit more ambivert. I wouldn't say
Yeah,
extrovert,
no.
but ambivert, which is nice. There's nothing bad about being an introvert.
Yeah.
I mean, I can understand how it feels. But yeah, it's just been so nice to see both of us just going out and doing our thing. It hasn't been that nice with our mom because she is constantly a little bit angry with us that we spend a lot of time outside. That's just how close our bonds
Yeah.
are. So, yeah, question of the day. How is your social life right now? Especially during the pandemic because we cannot meet a lot of friends. I've been wanting to meet one friend who lives a little far away from our house.
Yeah,
So,
15 minutes or
yeah. 15 minutes by
15,
train.
30 minutes, yeah.
So, yeah, which seems like a very short distance, but then the trains are not working, which is
Yeah.
a kind of a bummer. But anyways, yeah, and last week we asked who do you think copes less.
Did we ask?
Yeah, we did not put up the poll,
Yeah.
but for those of you who were here for the last episode, we asked a question. Who do you think feels panicky when things are not prepared amongst the both of us? So if you guessed Anushka, you are right. Definitely,
Yeah.
she is more of an organized person than I am, and she gets quite panicky when we are. I am always the one, like, even today, I found the story like just right
Yeah.
before
Well, I was finding
recording.
the dad joke.
So, you weren't that panicky. But, dad joke is not a
Yeah.
huge thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Imagine if you didn't have a story ready up until now. Yeah, your heartbeats.
I would be panting.
Yeah. Anyways, that was the answer. Sorry for not putting up the poll. Completely forgot. This is what we do sometimes. But anyways, with that being said, Anushka, why don't you introduce them to the first segment of
Yeah.
our podcast?
So we are reading a book called Ghost of the Silent Hills. And
We are on story
yeah, we are
number.
on story number 5th, I think.
Yeah. So if you haven't been
Yeah.
following the podcast for a while, you wouldn't understand what's happening. First of all, I think you should binge the last two episodes, I
Yeah.
believe. We have been
I think
narrating.
two or three. I think.
Two. I think two.
Yeah.
Okay, anyways.
Okay.
We have been narrating stories from this book and we don't narrate the entire story because the stories are extremely
Yeah.
long, so we are doing it in parts. Yeah, so this story is titled Lonely in Death. We definitely recommend you guys to go back and binge the last two episodes because you will not understand what's happening in the first segment of this episode because we're continuing the
Yeah.
story. Anyways, so there's this family. In this story,
Yeah.
Sagar seems to be the main hero. Sushma is his wife. And Sagar just discovered something really,
Yeah.
what's the
Sagar
word?
is back in his hometown.
Yeah, and he just
Hometown,
discovered
sorry. Hometown.
hometown. He just discovered something so emotional and what's the word I'm looking for? Heartbreaking.
Yeah.
His best friend from the times, from his Shiv, old times. No? Yeah, Shiv. He has passed away. So now he is with his family. He has announced the news. And now we continue with that conversation. So last week you went first, right?
Yeah.
So we should just do it in a chronological, what's it called? So alternate. Anyway, so I am going to go first. Yeah. I'm very happy about this situation. And yeah, so the Sagar's father knew about Shiv's death and he did not say anything Sagar. Which is, I don't understand why he did that. But anyways, now let's continue. Sagar sat with his head bowed. Shiv has been revisiting me in my dreams. Often, he declared gently. Though the statement was made casually, it had the opposite effect. Everyone looked at him in concern. Visiting you in your dreams? What do you mean? His mother couldn't mask her alarm. I keep dreaming of him time and again. And the strange part is that it is the same dream each time of us playing that last match of hockey that we had won just before joining college, at the end of which Shiv tells me to go with him. Go with him? Where? Sushma's eyes widened in horror. I don't know. He simply asks me to go with him and then I wake up. Sagar, I need to buy fruits to make juice for Ankur. Let's go now so that we can be back before lunch, huh? Suddenly she wants to go make lunch, which is so weird. He just
She wants to. That's weird.
Sushma got up in a huff and after picking up Ankur, she strode towards the stairs. Sagar stared at her receding back. What was wrong with her? Getting up thus in the middle of a serious discussion, but left with no choice, he followed her. Feeling disgruntled, his parents watched them go. What happened to Sushma? Why did she run away in the middle of the discussion? Sagar's mother queried more to herself. Sagar's father was clearly displeased. Strange. The subject is serious and needs to be probed further. He hasn't been himself lately, haven't you noticed? When Sagar reached the foot of the staircase, Sushma had suddenly fetched her purse and was waiting near the main gate. Seeing Sagar come towards her, she quickly walked out, expecting him to follow. Why are you in such a hurry, Sush? But Sushma was trotting away in urgency and Sagar had to run to keep up with her. Where are you running away to? The fruit shops are not going to close for another 8 hours. What's the hurry? Sagar, I'm not going to buy fruits. I'm going to see the priest. Makes sense now.
Yeah, I mean, you could just talk to them.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't understand why she had to do all the hurry, but anyways. We need his advice urgently.
Yeah.
And why didn't you tell me about the dream earlier? What's the great deal about a simple dream? Don't we dream every night? No, Sagar, it is different. Nobody sees the same dream again and again. She has a point. I think it is very serious. It could be a part of the uncanny experiences you have been undergoing ever since we came here. Sagar walked silently for a while, pondering. You know, I didn't think much of the dream till yesterday. It troubled me only last night, since I had come to know that Shiv has been dead for many months. The priest patiently listened to Sagar with concern. Then he counseled, when someone dies young and violently, at times the spirit remains hovering around trying to meet its unfulfilled desires. Sagar nodded. this appears the case this time. All you need to do is to counter the dream. Counter the dream. How can that be done? Sagar looked at the priest cynically. You will need to develop a strong willpower. Every night, meditate and pray before sleeping. The next time the dream comes, tell the deceased man to go his way. Tell him strongly that you do not intend to go with him because your ways are now different. But it is a dream, not a coffee table conversation. Sagar couldn't restrain his derision. I know that young man, but the mind is a very powerful thing that we carry inside our skulls. Apart from what we feel and see through our conscious mind, there is an equally strong subconscious. If you repeatedly tell yourself, turning the page, something, it may get lodged in your subconscious, and then even in your sleep state, you cannot control your mind. People explain to me exactly what I have. Please explain to me exactly what I have to do. Very simple. Just pray regularly and before falling asleep, repeat the lines you have to tell the dead entity in your dream. That's all. Will it work? It may not work immediately, but you will have to strengthen your willpower. Eventually, I believe it will work. I hope.
I just feel so sad for Shiv in this whole situation. I have just been so emotionally attached with the ghosts of all the stories in this book. But anyways, I feel bad.
Sagar and Sushma are going home in better spirits. The priest has given such an easy solution to the tough problem, Sushma endorsed. That night, Sagar followed the priest's directive before sleeping, and after meditation and prayers, repeated the lines he wanted to speak in his dream to counter the inimical proposal. Sure enough, the dream was repeated that night. When the time came to leave the field and Shiv came to him, Sagar wriggled and discomfort. He couldn't say a word, but his body language very clearly protested the offer. I am lonely, Sagar. Please come with me.
See? He's lonely.
Suddenly, Shiv was no more a young boy, but a full-grown man, like the one he had seen in a picture at his parents' house. The transition shocked Sagar even in his dream, and he squirmed and moaned in distress, which woke up Sushma. Sagar, wake up, she shook him. Wake up, Sagar. The expression on Sagar's face startled her. Slowly, Sagar opened his eyes. Where is he? Has he gone? Who was here? Sushma blurted. Shiv, he looks different now. Looks different now? What do you mean? By now, Sagar was fully awake. He looked around frantically, and then his gaze slowly came to rest on Sushma. Shiv is no more a young boy. He is a grown man. Of course, he was a grown man, Sagar. When I last met him, he was a young boy. But I saw him as a man just now. Sushma was frightened by this conversation. She peered in the dark of the night to see if there really was someone around. Where did you see him? In my dream. Did you tell him to go away? No, not really, but I was trying to squirm out of his grip. Sagar, you need to strengthen your willpower.
If it were up to it were me, I would have been dead by now.
Sushma shivered and slipped close to Sagar. She was getting terribly distressed. Why were such strange events occurring in their life? Why was Sagar undergoing such a weird experience? Kilde Hagang shifted to Chamba, life had been running smoothly without any hassles. For the first time, Sushma felt it was a mistake to accept this posting, despite the fact that Sagar's parents had been so happy to have them here. Sushma is incredibly... what's the word?
Insensitive
and...
arrogant?
No, you know the one who only thinks about themselves? Someone who only thinks about themselves.
Selfish.
Selfish, yeah. Very selfish.
Yeah.
They were old and leading a lonely life. See? Stupid girl. Yet she now wanted to leave this place and go elsewhere.
Shut up.
Self-centered woman.
Shut up.
She would buy and buy, convince Sagar to take her transfer. She decided. I mean, is she serious? Now, I have a question. Weird question, but imagine if someone close to you died. Just take an example of a friend, okay? It's a weird thought. But if they died and now they're lonely in their death, would you join them?
No.
Oh, screw your answer.
No.
Like, would you not be tempted to join them because they're so lonely?
Yeah, but
no,
I wouldn't do that.
Okay. I have, like, I don't know if I would answer no so easily.
Not so easily, but I won't go.
Okay. This was the question for you guys as well. If someone close to you died and now they're asking for you to join them in their death, would you go for it?
If I was old, I would go.
Yeah, that makes sense, right? Now, I would tell the friend to just wait just 10 more years, and then I'll join you.
50 years.
Yeah, 50 years, and then I will be with you. Something like that. Wow, weird. Shiv returned in Sagar's cream 2 days later. This time, there was no replay of the hockey match. Oh, dream's changing, babe. Shiv was simply standing at a door as a grown-up, smiling and beckoning Sagar. Come with me, he said. See, if they do something like this, it would be very difficult for me to refuse. Sagar wanted to avoid him, and in his scream, he tried turning away. But whichever way he went, a door appeared in front of him. A faint light was coming through the door, and Shiv was standing in the middle with an extended hand calling him to come to him. Finally, Sagar collected his strength and blurted loudly, I can't come with you. You go your way. I wouldn't be able to do that. The loud declaration woke Sushma up. Sagar was sitting with his face dripping with sweat. Bravo, Sagar, you did it. I did what? You told Shiv to go his way. Exactly the way the priest had advised. Yes, I think I did. Sagar took a deep breath and, feeling pleased, wrapped his arms. What's happening? Arms around Sushma. They both remained awake for a while, waiting in silence as if there would be some repercussion to the bold action taken in the dream. The night remained still and calm. A dog whined in the distance. Some scrapping sound was heard from an adjacent roof, like the claws of a roosting bird brazing against the slate. There was nothing out of the ordinary. Soon the couple, cozy in each other's arms and comforted by each other's presence, drifted into an undisturbed sleep. That's what I need, an undisturbed sleep. The dreams stopped. There were none in the coming week. It was an alleged victory, a tough battle won at last. Sagar's parents remained in the dark to the happenings all the while.
Yeah.
On the following Sunday, when they were once again enjoying a relaxed time, our bulb just flickered and it was
scary.
Like, things like this should not happen while we're recording. I have stop it, bulb. And I am lost. On the following Sunday, when they were once again enjoying a relaxed time, Sagar's father raised the topic. Sagar, are you still having those bizarre dreams? I mean, no dad, I'm fine. It must have been some passing phase. Since I have come to stay in my hometown after a very long time, perhaps old memories flooded my mind and triggered strange grief.
Quite possible. Sushma nodded her head ardently, endorsing the statement. This was a very satisfying and comfortable explanation. Perhaps they were unnecessarily making a mountain out of a molehill. This logic helped Sagar more than anybody else. He was getting pointlessly worked up, getting drawn into something non-existent. With this rationality, peace returned to his mind and life. The eerie incidents began to take a back seat, slowly filtering out of his mind. He concentrated on his work with more ease. The beginning of April brought a number of festivals and holidays. Ram Navami, followed by Good Friday, added to the long weekend. One evening, Sagar suggested that they needed to keep up their promise and go to visit Shiv's parents. It was much after their evening tea that the idea had cropped up. Sushma was a bit hesitant. I knew she was gonna be. Sagar, it's too late. I need to help Maji in the kitchen. I won't be comfortable letting her cook dinner all by herself. Let her do some work.
Yeah.
Yeah, let do Maji. Let. I mean, Suga. Sagar instantly hollered at his mother, who was at that moment in her bedroom. Ma, do you need Sush's help tonight or can she be spared? We were thinking of visiting Shiv's parents. No, I don't need help. You both can go and have a nice evening. Leave Ankur with us. We'll look after him. The evening was beautiful. After the intense winter cold, the warm weather was like a rainbow following a storm. They both walked leisurely through the narrow cobbled lanes of Chamba. At the end of Pongtu Mohalla, they reached the intersection from branched outer number of stressed streets, including the one that bypassed Akhand Chandi Palace, and went down a steep sloping alley to Chogan. Another lane led to the famous Lakshmi Narayan Temple. Sagar halted here. Old memories invaded in his mind all of a sudden. He used to visit the temple almost daily during his childhood with his mother carrying her plate of diyas made of kneaded flour and homemade wicks burning in ghee. Later, he often visited the temple with his friends, with Shiv. How and when those beautiful childhood days had vanished. Life hadn't given him enough spare time to think. A pain now shot in his heart, filling him with nostalgia. Something's wrong. There was a large peepal tree at the juncture.
Peepal tree. It's considered kind of like a ghost tree or something. Not exactly. I'm just like, it's very religious. Holds religious. Very religious. I can't speak. Okay, Harkness.
With a cemented stockade around it. A lone man sat on it, a sad figure, his back slumped, head bowed. As Sagar and Sushma passed by the peepal tree, Sagar threw a glance at him. The young man raised his head. He seemed familiar.
Hey, Sagar, who is the man?
Where had he seen him?
Shiv.
After a few more steps, Sagar turned to look back.
Shiv.
Perhaps he knew the man and should have greeted him. But there was no one there. Within seconds, the man had disappeared. Sagar went pale. Didn't he resemble the man from his dreams? He walked on quietly. Sushma noted his pale, disturbed face, but stopped short of probing him.
Yeah, she probes him a lot.
Dusk had set in by the time they reached Shiv's parents' house at the far of the narrow street. A weak bulb on a tall lamp post illuminated the street softly. There was complete silence around. Not a soul could be spotted. A disquietingly sensation encased both Sagar and Sushma, leaving them sad. On reaching the house, they were disappointed to see a large lock hanging on the door of the house. Should we wait for them to return? They couldn't
have their guide.
I got scared now.
No.
They couldn't have gone far. Perhaps only to fetch provisions, Sagar suggested. How do we know, Sagar? They could have gone visiting friends. For how long will we wait?
This Sushma is such a pessimistic person and such a frustrating.
Impatient.
He should just have gone alone. We hate Sushma.
Hate club.
Yeah.
Ankur may get cranky if we don't get home soon. Why did you come then? You should have just helped Maji. You wanted to help, no?
Yeah. I'm done with her. Yeah.
We don't get back soon. Let's go back. Okay, madam, as you say. Holding Sushma's hand in his, Sagar began walking back. When they reached the end of the street, they both heard a male voice from behind. Clear and crisp. Sagar, wait.
Haila.
Shiv's parents are back.
I thought
Shiv's back. Sagar declared cheerfully and turned back. They both once walked back to the house. Sushma felt a little uneasy since she couldn't spot anyone in the street. This side of the town was unusually deserted today, unlike the rest of the town. They were once again standing in front of the same doorstep, but the big lock still hung there.
It's shame.
Prominently and coldly.
Oh my God.
Who called out your name? Sushma looked around anxiously, fear creeping into her bones. Yeah, mine too. I was gonna say Sugar again. Sagar.
Let's just call him Sugar,
Sugar nervously. Sugar nervously shrugged his shoulders. They hurriedly retreated the steps.
Even if someone who like want to get scared of our podcast, they're just booking. Yeah. We cannot scare.
Okay, anyways. No, they hurriedly retreated the steps and moved away from the house. Once back home, they decided to ignore the weird experiences of the evening, although their hearts remained uneasy. In fact, for the next 2 days that Sagar was at home, he felt listlessly and gloomy. As much as he tried, he couldn't perceive what really was wrong. With the holidays over, Sagar returned to his work more ardently. As a divisional officer of the district, he was required to undertake intense touring to inspect the projects underway. It was time to begin. After his first major staff meeting, a few matters cropped up which required his immediate attention. He needed to visit some far-off and higher regions in the district, but most of them were still under a thick cover of snow. June would be better for touring those places. Also, there were quite few complaints of the slow progress of work in the subdivision of TISA. Sagar decided he would begin by traveling to his small settlement about 63 kilometers north of Chamba town. That wasn't far, but it would take somewhere about 3 hours to reach, since it was a rough, jagged mountainous road. He fixed the second Tuesday of May for his tour to TISA. On that Monday of May, he returned home a little early to pack for the tour that he was going on the next morning. Ankur was delighted to see his father back early and demanded his attention.
No, Ankur just has been
been a cute boy.
Yeah, he has been not.
Yeah, thankful. I'm thankful that he's gayab.
For the non-English, non-Hindi speaking listeners, for gayab, disappeared.
Sagar readily obliged. He knew Ankur was going to miss him since he was going to be away after a very long time. He smiled, thinking how he would pester Sushma frequently with the same question. When is Papa coming home? Hate Sushma. With love copulously pouring out of his heart, he picked and hugged Ankur. No, Papa, no hugs. I want to play cricket with you. Okay, champion, boss. Get your cricket set. Ankur ran to fetch his small bat and ball. They played cricket in the courtyard. After half an hour of shouting, running, arguing and mirth, Sushma took a protesting Ankur away for his evening.
Sushma is such a freaking... What's the word? Why am I...
Selfish. Always provoking this girl.
Poking her head.
Poking, yeah.
In all situations.
Yeah. Sushma took a protesting Ankur away for his evening glass of milk and Sagar went inside to pack. It took him barely 10 minutes to pack a small suitcase he would take with him on his 2-day trip. Packing over, he sat down to go through his official files. The twilight gradually faded, making way for the nightly shadows.
Mm-hmm.
Sagar realized it only when his eyes began to be strained. He needed to switch on the light, but he sat limp and still, shivering in the unexplained cold. Depression slowly engulfed his whole body. He was thus sitting in the dark, lost and immobile. When Sushma came down to check on him, "Are you all right, Sagar?" she asked with concern, switching on the light and wrapping her arms around him. Sagar jumped out of his reverie. "I am fine." He looked around as if he was in completely new surroundings. "I must have dozed off, was dreaming of a strange place." Running his hand through his hair, he stood up. "Let's go up. Dinner is ready." Sushma held his hand. Okay. I thought she is raising her hand.
Okay.
So Sagar docilely followed her. "I don't know why I don't feel too well," he confessed, climbing up the stairs. "You must sleep early. You have a long day tomorrow. Or on second thought, maybe you should postpone your tour." "No, it's better I get done with it." Once in the kitchen, Sagar sat next to the open window. As usual, he felt much better up here. The cool breeze was refreshing. He could see Chaugan and the bazaar illuminated in different shades of lights. It looked so different from his childhood days when the houses would be mutely lighted with earthen oil lamps. The darkness of the night then would be so utterly blatant and enchanting. Yet, like any child, he would yearn for daylight when he could smile, when he could play with his friends. Studies always came secondary. Sagar smiled at the thought. He mentioned it to Sushma, who made a face. I wouldn't want that for Ankur, would you?
That is where we are stopping. Oh my gosh. Story. We just have like a few pages left. We probably will end it in the next one.
Yeah.
Next episode.
Four
more pages, right?
Yeah.
Just four?
I think
1, 2, 3, 4. No more than
five.
Yes. Yeah, so we'll just keep it for the climax for the next episode. So make sure that you tune in. We are going to be ending the segment one, and now it's time for two more scary stories. Are you ready?
Yeah, I am.
Just a second, I just lost my story. This short story is titled "Who Was That?" Very short. "I was annoyed with my daughter because she hadn't cleaned her room in weeks."
Just like her mom.
Yeah, and that daughter would be me. "So when I walked by her room and saw her standing there, I assumed she was doing what I said. A few minutes later, she walked out of the shower in the bathroom with a towel wrapped around her and asked why I was looking at her strangely. When I asked her who was in her room, she looked scared too. I never figured out who that was, but they didn't clean up the room either." Someone was inside
this person's room. That is the story.
If I see someone who looks like you and then you come out from somewhere else, I would die. I would literally die. What would you do?
Die.
Our hearts are very weak, Anushka. We cannot take this. I just want to see our mom's reaction because she's this kind of person who shrieks and freaks even if she sees a cockroach. So I wonder what her reaction would be if she sees a ghost someday.
I don't know.
Yep. It's your turn now.
The ghost who stood guard.
We are going in the browser. Oh, she clicked the egg. She clicked the egg. Give me a moment.
God.
Where is the egg?
Yeah.
There we go.
Okay. We used to live in a battered women's and children's shelter when I was young. Because my father was looking for us. Ugly divorce, Alabama gave him custody. Mom took us to WA. I don't know what that is.
Okay.
One night, I looked in the mirror and saw a hairy demon looking back at me.
Yeah.
I screamed and cried and ran to get my mom, who assured me it was a normal mirror. But that night, a kind-looking man that I can only describe as a ghost appeared at the end of my bed. He was there all night, but gone when I woke up in the morning.
Oh no.
Then the next night and the next night, he was there every night for 4 months.
Hala.
He never talked, he never moved, he just stood guard. Then one night he woke me up from my sleep, and I'll never forget how surprised I was, because I would never see him move or talk. He said, "He's coming. Get out now." So we packed up the car and left to a hotel for the night. The next morning we went back to find out someone had broken in and gone room to room looking for someone. I never saw him again after that.
Oh no. That is so incredibly scary, man. I mean, imagine if she didn't listen to the warning and stayed. What would have happened then?
Don't know.
Oh shoot. Oh, scary. Alright. That brings us to the end of our episode, which the last and the final segment is the gag joke part. Anushka, take it away.
What do you call a factory that sells passable products?
Pastry.
What?
A
satisfactory.
These are so gumb.
Yeah.
So gumb. I cannot laugh. I have only laughed once. In how many in how many episodes? Probably more than 10, 15?
Yeah, I think.
Only once. I'd like to maintain that record.
Let's see.
Yeah, you're gonna have to find something that's gonna make me, you know. Even if it gets like a chuckle, I'll give you the point.
Okay.
Let's make this a competition. Yeah. We are both incredibly competitive, so yeah.
We are ready.
Anushka's face right now is like so giggling. I am not. Anyways, thank you so much for listening, guys. Hope this was fun to listen. Hope you got spooked more than you laughed. Or the other way around. Because that's how we roll. Anyways, yeah, anything else to add?
No, I'm tired.
Yeah, we are just so tired. We are recording these episodes late. I think that is why we are tired and scattering and all of that things.
Yeah.
Like, when we record in the mornings, it's the same.
I think we should find a middle ground.
I don't think we could.
I don't think.
Yeah. Anyways, thank you so much for listening. We'll see you in the next episode. If you have a creepy story, mail them to us at creepykids69@gmail.com. And yeah, we'll see you in the next one. Bye guys. Love you.
Bye.